What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaialai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaialai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlineWorld.com or download the free Jaialai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlineWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlineWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
How about the Cowboys?
Say, left, caught in one hand. Touchdown, Cowboys.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, Cooper Rush.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What message do you have for Dallas Cowboys fans?
Yeah, the plan is just do your job. You just got to stay on that path.
Earlier on the show, Tampa Bay Times Bucks beat writer Rick Stroud. Still to come, Eagles cornerback Darius Slay. Plus, from Amazon Prime Video's The NFL Pylon, Taron Killam. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' recent loss to the Packers and where game four for them will be played. It's in Tampa for Sunday night. Teams bugging out for South Florida right now with Hurricane Ian bearing down on the west coast of Florida shortly. If you missed any of that, including his interesting theory on what Tom Brady needs to get some of his mojo back, check it all out on either our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, or check it out on our podcast, which can be downloaded every single day, all 3 hours on the Cumulus Podcast Network. Or if you're watching on the Roku channel, channel 210, watch the rest of this show. Darius Big Play Slay of the Philadelphia Eagles joining us in 20 minutes time. They're 3-0, by the way. Also on this program, Dan Orlovsky of the Worldwide Leader in Sports. He's the man of the hour, with Jimmy Garoppolo apparently taking him off the hook by stepping out of bounds and creating his own safety. Taron Killam of Saturday Night Live fame from back of the day, now with his own show called The Pylon on Amazon Prime every single Wednesday night in advance of the Thursday night football game.
Very fun show.
Watch the rest of the show, and then we pop back on Channel 210 and the Roku channel right away. Just keeps re-airing. So hour one will be right after the next two live hours. That's the way we roll here on this program. We say hello also to our terrestrial radio affiliates, the Odyssey feed. You can stream us every day into your ear gate on the Odyssey app. There's also, by the way, Sirius XM Radio back on satellite radio, channel 218 on Sirius, 202 on XM, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Here on the program, Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their usual spots. TJ Jefferson in his spot as well, right here on the program. His Dallas Cowboys came up with a big win last night on ABC and the Worldwide Leader in Sports. They are 2-1.
Feeling good.
Tied with the Giants, looking up at the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles.
And then, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! It is a Jimmy Johnson drop day, no doubt about it. Michael Irvin just lit up Stephen A. Smith today.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's just...
He was sweating like he did something.
I know. Just like he did last night on his Instagram feed, which we'll play later on in this program as well.
Last night.
Lots to get to here on this program. So, look, I keep saying on this program, and I think I'll be saying it for next couple of weeks too, at least, deep into October, we're marathoning, we're not sprinting in the NFL. It's a 17-game, 18-week regular season.
Long season.
Okay, it's a long season. Even those 0-3 teams, including my Las Vegas Raiders, who I'm living and dying with and mostly dying with right now. Even they are still in it. You got an extra regular season game. I'll refer to it as such for a while because I'm used to those, you know, 16 regular season game seasons, as is the rest of our football-loving nation. Bottom line is we're marathoning, we're not sprinting. So to look at week three and say that's where your fortunes change, that's where things turn, it's rare. It's rare, but it's entirely possible. You know, difference between 0-3 and 1-2. Difference between 2-1 and 1-2. Difference between being 3-0 and 2-1. They are significant. Your odds of going up or down out of the playoffs or in the playoffs are significant. And I have compiled a list of the top five teams whose fortunes changed in week three. Most of them are good. Glasser is mostly half full in this list.
You're a positive guy.
But one is not. Ooh. One is not. DJ Mikey D, I need NFL Films music from you, please.
Hit my music.
Top five teams whose fortunes changed in week number three, according to my estimation.
The Chimes.
Number five is Chris Brockman's New England Patriots.
You just made the list.
I mean, this team looked great in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh coming off of that high of the week one win against Cincinnati, coming into their newly named Acrisure Stadium against a New England team that got smoked by the Dolphins week before, and they looked great, and Mac was playing good football, and here come the Ravens, and they're going point for point with the Ravens until the roof caved in. Mac Jones started making mistakes, and then his ankle caved in. And I put them on this list here at number five because I don't know how long Mac Jones is going to go on the shelf. And you need to get your second-year quarterback more reps, more time, more mature. And the fact that they're not going to have that opportunity for, what, 4 to 6 weeks, one would think? At least half a year?
At least.
In a division where you've got the Dolphins and the Bills going at it, and the Jets are about to get their second-year quarterback back? Difference between being 2-1 and 1-2 is large, and then now you don't have your quarterback for at least a month and a half. And then who knows what team they're going to have when they come back, when Mac Jones comes back. They're number five on this list. I think their fortunes changed considerably with that week three loss.
I think you're right.
Number four on this list is a team that nobody thought had a chance to win the division. Nobody thought the division would be this bad because their division was led by the one seed from last year's playoffs. And this team has a young defense that is buzzing. And they have a team that is quarterbacked by one of the most generationally talented players drafted in recent memory. At least that's the way we thought of him when he came out of Clemson. Number four on this list is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are currently in first place in the AFC South, and anybody who's overlooking them best check themselves. Will they have a winning season after being first overall on the clock 2 years in a row? Is that possible? Yeah. It's definitely possible because they won in Los Angeles against the Chargers. And laugh all you want. That could be the difference between making the playoffs or not as a 7 seed or a 6 seed. If you believe the Chargers are as good as advertised still, despite all their injuries, they banged up the Chargers even worse. They smoked them. And they have got good young players. And Christian Kirk is saying, take your criticism of my long-term lucrative contract and stick it where the sun does not shine.
He's earning it.
That's the way he's playing.
Yeah.
They're number four on this list. Number three on this list, I had a choice between two teams in this division that avoided the dreaded 0-3 start and are now 1-2. But I'm choosing the team that won at home in a division game. I'm choosing the Carolina Panthers. They could have been 0-3, losing to the Saints at home. Oh my gosh. That would have been the doldrums, to say the least. And they've got an owner supposedly with an itchy trigger finger, even though there were reports over the weekend, Ian Rappaport, saying David Tepper's going to be patient. That is not a word I've ever heard associated with that man since he's owned the team, to be very honest with you. And Carolina needed that win. Baker Mayfield's first win with the team, they needed that. You cannot lose division games at home to fall to 0-3. Instead, they're 1-2. And they're only one game behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who they have yet to play. And the Saints are now in third place. And so they're part of a three-team mosh pit at 1-2. I was going to choose the Falcons, but and it was a big win for them in Seattle. I just don't know if their fortunes changed. I think Carolina could potentially make some hay here in this division. We'll see how it goes.
They're a few plays away from being 3-0.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, they're a good team.
Number two on this list, nobody saw it coming. Chris, you mentioned this team to be the surefire loser being on the wrong business end of a suicide pool pick. Everybody chose the Chiefs. You chose the Chiefs. Whoa. All of us on NFL Game Day morning, we just were in the meeting. We're like, there's no obvious choice for lock of the week except Kansas City and Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. We all doomed them, all six of us on the set.
Yep.
All of us. And the Indianapolis Colts were staring into the abyss, starting 0-1-1, having lost on the road in Jacksonville, shut out after tying the Texans to open the season. They looked dead in the water with no Shaq Leonard. The Indianapolis Colts changed their fortunes. They beat the Chiefs. They're now 1-1-1. They're just a half game behind the aforementioned Jaguars. They could easily win this division. I picked them to win this division. They could have been I looked it up. I was wondering, has a team ever been when was the last 0-2-1 team? At one point, I asked in the screening room when the Texans were tied with the Bears late, I'm like, has the team ever started 0-1-2?
No way, right?
We stopped looking it up because Justin Fields and the Bears actually scored. But I will ask that question later on. All I'm saying is the Colts changed their fortunes, man. They won and they beat the Chiefs. And I know they got some help from some bizarre unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, but the only reason why that it was helpful is because the Chiefs made a lot of mistakes and the Colts were capitalizing throughout the day. They changed their fortunes. And the number one on the list, the number one team that changed their fortunes in week number three are the Miami Dolphins. Oh, yeah, man. If they had fallen to 2-1 with a short week, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals right behind it, if they'd fallen to 2-1, it would have been like, hey, Mike McDaniel, hey, you know. Great win over the Belichick Patriots that are now dead in the water with Mac Jones being out. Great win. Good stuff. And, hey, kudos to you with what you did in Baltimore in that fourth quarter. But you're still not better than the Bills. And you still can't beat the Bills. You still can't get past this team. You just lost to them at home in week three. Good luck trying to go up in week 15 in, you know, 0-degree wind chill and try and win that one. Good luck to you. But I'll tell you what, the Miami Dolphins won that football game. They got it done, and they are now 3-0. They're the ones that the rest of the conference is looking up to. They're the ones that the Buffalo Bills are looking up to. They're the ones that created a huge mess in the Buffalo Bills offensive coaching box. Clean up on aisle Dorsey, right? So the Dolphins absolutely changed their fortunes with that win. Could they have gone from 2-1 to where I think they can go? Of course they could. But they've got this win and all that momentum. And that's my top five teams list of whose fortunes changed in week three. You know, I thought about putting the Falcons on there. I thought about putting your Cowboys on there too. But I don't know if their fortunes are any different than what with the Falcons that we expect them to go to, with all due respect to them. I'm sure they would love to have me eat my words. And I think the Cowboys at 1-2, Cooper Rush still just getting them, keeping them around 500 would still put them in a playoff mix in an NFC that I don't think is as good as people think. So,
except for the East.
Yeah, maybe so. And what, the Bengals? Difference between 1-2 and 0-3. I just still believe in them.
Bengals, yeah.
So that's my
list.
They
could easily be 2-2 if they win on Thursday. I mean, home game against Miami. Miami's a little banged up. They let it all on the field.
Yep. You know, before we go through to break, and Darius Slay is going to join us, I want to say something about Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, who was captured on camera, just throwing things around. Like a total tantrum on camera that we had fun with. And the fact that somebody had the presence of mind after 5 seconds to put their hand over the camera to say, this show is over.
Smart move.
After, you know, the Bills had a chance to try and set up a field goal to win it, but time ran out on them. And, you know, a frustrating, long, hot day in Miami boiled over. Ken Dorsey was on Zoom yesterday, the OC of Buffalo, about this subject.
It was a intense game. It was a passionate game. You know, I'm up in the box. I'm watching my guys down there just give us everything they possibly have in them with effort and from start to finish playing 90-something snaps in a game. And, you know, it was a playoff atmosphere. A lot of credit to the Miami Dolphins. And obviously we weren't on the winning end of it. So it's frustrating and, you know, reacted that way. And obviously that's something that I'm definitely going to learn from. And, you know, I don't ever want to take the passion out of the game. We're all on this to win football games for the Bills, for our fans. And we're going to give them everything we got, but it's something I'm going to learn from and make sure, you know, it's a correct move forward.
Let me just say something about this to Ken Dorsey. I have zero problems
Same.
With his reaction.
Me too.
None.
Yep.
None.
Zero. The only thing, if you want to learn from it, is take a breath, cover the camera, and then trash the place.
Yeah, exactly. And then go crazy.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Then trash. I have no problem. The way I'm interpreting this is clearly, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. He wants to be a head coach one day, and any owner wants the head coach to be calm, cool, collected. You don't lose your head or anything like that. And that might be the bad look for a head coach. If you're throwing a tantrum, you got to be, you know, ride the highs and live with the lows and all that stuff. But I loved it.
Me too.
I had no problem. He's right. It was a playoff atmosphere. I just wondered for Ken Dorsey, too, being back in Miami, maybe it means something a little bit, too. You
100%.
Know? So I have no problems. None whatsoever with his reaction. Him saying, you know, I'm going to learn from it.
Learn what?
No, I want that passion.
Like I said, anybody who's looking for a head coach, you want somebody who's got a flat line to live with the moments and not get caught up in whatever. But
I don't trust those people. Show some emotion, man.
I don't have a single issue with it. No. None.
I've had that reaction sitting in my living room, and I had nothing to do with it.
Maybe he's a little embarrassed that it went viral and whatnot, but, like, whatever. Yeah. He just got probably a whole new fan base because of it.
It's going to be a meme for a long time.
I legit haven't heard anybody say anything bad about it. It was just funny.
No, but I
get his point, though. I see
his point, like, I need to be – I'm a coach, I'm a leader, whatever. I got to tell my guys, be cool under pressure, and I just, you know, pitched a fit. You know, like my Roblox just got taken away and my time limit just hopped up on my iPad. Know what I mean? Like, so I understand why he might be saying that. I'm just saying, Ken Dorsey, you be you, man. Yeah, and what good, he's brother. Doing right yeah, now with good. This team, with this team, is terrific.
Yeah, we're team 2 Jiggy and we're team Ken Dorsey.
Okay.
Just imagine if you're a Bills fan, right, and that's happening, you're mad, and it cuts to him, and he's just sitting there like, oh, okay, well, that's
by the way,
well,
search Buffalo
I'd have been like, yo, what are you doing, man? Like, get angry about this. So,
well, I mean, but again, it's not, I don't want it to be seen like if another coach just, you know, caps his pen and
I find
and then,
that
and
weird
then closes
myself.
The book and just, and we're done. It could be just like you're seething inside. And I know, like, again, you and I are We're Eastern Time Zone sports fans.
Or East Coast.
Well,
you know.
I mean, I'm East Coast. You're an Eastern Time Zone sports fan. But you do
divide us, bro.
You root for a team on the East Coast and the New York Mets. I just remember, you know, Kevin McReynolds, a Met, where he would strike out or he would not perform very well or he's not performing as well as he wanted. And he never showed emotion at all. And I had a problem with that.
It made me feel like he didn't care.
I liked Paul O'Neill beating up, you know, Gatorade jugs with his bat. You know, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see that, but I'm a New Yorker and I'm desensitized maybe to it. I don't know, that might be the wrong word for it, but there might be some people who are like, wow, this guy just tore up his workspace. He's throwing a tantrum. He's supposed to be a leader. He's supposed to tell his guys to stay cool under pressure. I have no problem with it. I just wanted to say that because I heard Ken Dorsey say he's going to learn something. If he's going to learn anything, just take have an index card. You know, I will send him a Rich Eisen. Maybe you should send him a Rich Eisen show card.
I think that's nice.
And then he could just, by the way, place it logo in front so it's shown to the camera.
Branding.
Cover the camera, you know.
And then go nuts.
And then destroy the place.
Yeah.
Then Johnny Depp the whole thing.
No, I want to see it, so don't cover the
camera. Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Big play Darius Slay joining us on the Rich Eisen Show when we come back from the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain. It's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod.
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay. Anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh. Are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the
hell? On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross, available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. He is one of the best at his position, and the game that he came up with against the Minnesota Vikings. We were all talking about it 1 week ago at this point because he shut down Justin Jefferson. He is one of the best corners in the game, and he's part of the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is Darius Big Play Slay. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on in the world of Philadelphia? Darius?
Not much. Just chilling. It's Slay. Well, we just chilling.
Okay, very good. Who was the first person to call you Big Play, Darius Slay?
My coach, Jeff Collins. You know, he was a Georgia Tech head coach, but he got fired a couple of days ago. But he didn't want to give my nickname.
Well, how did you earn it?
I was in a spring ball, and I was like, you know, I had probably like came from JUCO, came into Mississippi State as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Spring ball, and I had like freaking 10 picks in like a matter of like 5 days of practice. So coach was like, he just makes big plays every week. They say, you know, this like, and then my name kind of rhymed with play, so they say Big Play Slay.
Big Play Slay. Now, when you came into the pros, did anybody call you that as well, or you had to earn it there, Darius?
I had it earned it a little bit, you know, as in getting called Big Play because I had to make big plays on the field. But everybody called me Slay for sure. But then, the media world got into it as the plays were getting made that I was like to be called Big Play Slay.
Okay. And now you're part of a 3-0 team in Philadelphia. Just want to jump in before we get to the bigger picture stuff. Just drill down to that Monday night game where you were going up against Justin Jefferson. What was your mindset going into that game, Darius?
It's late, but it was like a normal game week. You know, I go in every week. It's not that, you know, because of who Jeff Jefferson was. You know, he's a great guy, but the whole NFL got talented guys in the league. So I was just going there with the same mindset as that and beat the guy in front of me more than he beat me. So, but for sure, Justin is one of the best in the game. But like I said before, like I'm one of the best too. So, but This is another day at the office and going to work.
So what is your philosophy on traveling with the number one guy? What's your philosophy?
Well, I mean, I don't ever mind it. My coach know that I'm willing to do that at any time of the day, any point of the week. And, I love doing it because, you know, it gets the best out of me, playing against some of the best guys in the world. I have fun doing it. So it's just very competitive. It makes me a better person, and it makes them a better player too as well. You know, with the best on the best keep going against each other.
Well, what do you say to a coach who's just like, well, scheme-wise, we're just going to play at our scheme, and you don't travel with the number one guy? How do you handle that, Darius?
I take it cool. You know, I believe in my coaches, so whatever they need me to do, I'm going to do. I'm not a selfish guy. So I'm a guy that's just very selfless. Like, I don't mind doing anything the team need me to do to help us win. So if that's me traveling, I travel. If that's me not traveling, I don't travel. So whatever they need me to do, I'm just here to help win.
But what do you prefer? What do you prefer?
I mean, of course I prefer to travel, but yes. Ain't what I prefer. At the end of the day, it's all about the team.
Okay. So I know, like, this week, for instance, you're pointing at Christian Kirk. Is that what you would? Is that who you would be on for this coming week?
Darius? I mean, it's Slay, but we ain't do our game plan all the way yet, so we don't know what's going on yet, so we'll just figure that out tomorrow.
Okay. Look, that's the third time you've done this in this interview, so I need to know, what is the definition of Slay? Because I think you've used it as a verb and a noun, a proper noun. What's the definition of Slay, Darius Slay?
The Slay, there's no definition to it. It's just my last name.
Right. But you said it's Slay. It sounds like you're referring to it as, like, you know, something else other than just your last name.
No, I'm referring to it as in. I don't like being called Darius, but I like everybody to call me Slay.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I should just look. We've just met. I mean, I want to make sure.
I know. That's what I was telling you. I was like, when you say Darius, I'm like, nah, it's Slay.
Rich, okay. Mama named Slay. I'm gonna call him Slay.
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. Yeah. I got it. I just want to make sure. I just thought you were referring to it as, like, you know, it's a mindset.
No, like Brockman. You call him Brockman. You don't call him Chris.
I do call him Chris sometimes.
Like Mamba mentality. Like, yeah.
I mean, all right, Slay.
Yeah. So Mama named Slay.
So
I'm
Slay. I just didn't want to you know, be so presumptuous, but I can do that. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's Slay.
Okay, Slay. All right, Slay. I've got, so when I, you know, this is a radio show too, so I have to do what's a professional. I'm not to drag you too into my professional weeds here, but I have to reset so people who are just driving around know who I'm talking to. Is it all right if I reset as Darius Slay, or should I just reset as Slay? You tell me.
I mean, it's cool. As we just know it's Slay for the most part.
Okay.
Like, you get introduced to that as Darius Slay, but when we get to talk, you can be like, hey.
Hey, what up, Slay?
What do you think about this, Slay?
Yeah. All right, it's Slay's here on the Rich Eisen Show from the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. Or it's Slay from the 3-0 Eagles, right? So I'll just okay, we'll do that. I love this. Fantastic. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Can you please give me an example, Slay, of how Jalen Hurts is leading this team? Can you give me one?
He just, by doing everything the right way and you know, he's just a honest guy, man. You know, we can't control play, you know. So how he carries himself makes him a leader for this team. It's not how he plays his game. But, you know, of course, that dude goes along with it. But he does kind of like lead it by example, as in how he carries himself as a man and as a professional.
So can you please give me an example of that, Slay, where you're like, okay, I will follow this man?
Just about, you know, as he prepared for work, as in when we got, you know, first in the building type mess. So it's like more like, it's kind of like hard to like give like a strong example, but
sure.
You know, cause he got like great words of encouragement, you know, and you know, a lot of guys kind of build off encouragement. So he got a way to like motivate us. He's a good motivator for sure.
And just seeing him perform the way that he does, how does that electrify your side of the ball, your place on the sideline with your teammates as you were getting ready to make sure the opponent does not answer?
Say that again.
So how does his play, when he does what he does, how electric he is and the rest of the offensive team, how does that play with you, Slay, where you're like, okay, how does that electrify you as you then get back on the field and make sure that your opponent does not answer?
Oh, great, because we just know our goal is to get, you know, that offense the ball as many as possible, as much as possible, because we know they can score.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen doing a great job as, you know, managing the offense, controlling the game, making the checks he needed to make to get the guys in the right position. So if they continue to keep doing as they're doing, man, we're going to continue to keep helping them. So our goal on defense always to go out there and try to get them the ball fast as they can because they can score at any time.
Slay here on the Rich Eisen Show. By the way, we've graphically supported it now. It just only says Slay next to your face on the screen, just so you understand.
Nice.
Okay, we're just trying to go with what you'd like. I love this here on the Rich Eisen Show. Have you seen that Batman cape, Slay? That's on.
Of course.
Okay, what do you think of it?
I loved it. I'm the one came up with it as the name of the Batman name. But I told AJ said, man, we should get a cape. I said, yeah, but we got to get a cape. Put it on the sideline for my boys.
Okay, please walk me through this. So it was your idea for the cape, Slay?
Well, we were both coming up with it. Like, hey, man, we should probably get a cape and bring it on the sideline. And y'all go, you should do it. Because, like, you know, it's just something fun, something that Trey Martin boys can do because they have a very talented group, man. Mm-hmm. The whole receiver corps, they work hard and all that and everything. So, yeah, man, it's smooth as, you know, it's taking off at the right time.
Okay, so it's only for the offense? There's nothing for the there's no cape for the defense? In Philly?
No, they the offense. No, I don't know yet.
I mean,
but that's for the offense for sure, though.
I don't know. Let's come up with Thanos? Can we come up with, like, an Avengers thing here? What do you think? You got a glove? Like a glove?
I don't know. We thinking on it. We ain't really worried about us as that. With that, I just kind of do, you know, defense, we collect the group, man. We kind of like... We'd be chilling. So it's not on like a bigger group, like a whole group, because it take an effort for the whole thing. But the whole team a great effort thing, but the offense, man, they put a lot of points on the board. So we let the offense put on the cape.
Okay. And what did you see on film or just know of about Wentz, your former teammate? I know that you haven't been in Philly that long, but that you were able to exploit this past week with the defensive performance, Slay?
Just try to be disguising, just try to disguise our coverage the best way we can. And to make them really have to think and hold the ball for a little second so our D-line can get there because we got a great D-line out here rushing stuff. So we try to make it easy, make it hard for him to read the coverage so it can make it easy for us back.
Okay. And just knowing his tendencies to hold on to the ball, did you guys talk about that?
That's the goal, though. You know, try to make him hold on to the ball as much as we can. Because, like I said, it's rushing cover. It's a team effort. So, you know, we knew we had to cover good for them guys to get great rushes. And they got guys like them for them. You know, just in case we mess up ever, they get a good rush. So we don't have to cover too long. So,
okay. What would it mean for you to win a Super Bowl there in Philly? Obviously, you weren't there the last time it happened. But I'm sure you saw the party and you know what it would be like. Because a lot of folks are talking about your team having the opportunity now that you've been – undefeated through the first 3 weeks, Slay.
Yeah, it's always going to be a blessing to win a Super Bowl, right? But at this moment, we're not really too much worried about, you know, a Super Bowl right now. We just worry about the next one. We just try to be to go 1-0 each and every week. So
okay,
right now it's still 0. It's still 0-0 to us.
Okay,
you know, even though the record say 3-0, but we really 0-0 and going into this week. So we're just trying to be 1-0 each week.
Last one for you, Slay. Is it true you gave one of the interceptions? One of the footballs from your terrific week 2 performance to James Harden? Did that happen?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's one of my guys. As I like to watch in basketball. So, you know, to be able to get him the ball, man, was a blessing for me as well. Like I said, James Harden won, you know, future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest shooting guards ever. So, why not? You know, I got a great opportunity.
When did you meet him? How'd you meet him?
Well, that's my first time ever meeting him because I just saw him at the game. You know, we both, you know, he played for the Philadelphia, you know, the Sixers I played for them. So we both, you know, important guy, like I say, in the state of Philly. So, you know, why not us?
Why not you? So you saw James Harden, you're like, here, you take it? That's the way it worked?
Yeah. Here you go, man. You know, hey, we all together, we all one unit. So, you know. They want to win a championship just like we want to win a championship. So we're trying to bring the city something special.
Is that your first professional assist?
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yes.
Okay.
One of my first one.
Okay. And then Harden took it to the rack. No doubt he went to the line, I'm sure, because that's what he usually does. Did you see?
No, he went to the rack.
with the and one.
Oh, with the and one. Oh, okay. So just one shot. Okay. Understood. Got it.
So one shot.
Do you see he looks really good. He's lost his weight. He's lost weight. He looks really, really good.
Yeah, I'm excited for him, man. I can't wait to see what he do this year. Yeah. So, sky's the limit.
All right. So the Super Bowl and then the Larry O.B. That's the way it's going to go in Philadelphia. Okay.
We hope it's for, but we will continue to play one game at a time.
Slay, I hope this is the first of many times that you're on this program, and I will never call you by your first name again.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Keep balling out, sir. Keep balling out.
All right.
There he is. That's Slay of the Philadelphia Eagles, all-pro corner, here on the Rich Eisen Show. At Big Play 24 Slay on Twitter.
Yeah, I hear call him his government name. Rich.
Now, I mean, I asked him questions, I'm like, "So Darius," and he goes, "It's Slay." And I honestly thought he was just using that word as a different meaning.
No.
He was correcting me on what I should be calling.
He's like, "You can just call me Slay."
No, but he said, "It's Slay."
Yeah.
The way he said it
immediately because I've heard him say it before.
Oh, I've not heard him say it.
Okay, I've never heard him say it. Yeah. It did seem like
that's. I'm like, okay, I'll ask you like mantra, what are the different meanings?
Yeah, it's Brockman.
And I thought I'd get Slay means
that was just it's
competition. Slay means I've got it.
Like it's too jiggy. It's Brock Shady. Like it's like that. That's
what's my name?
Richie.
No.
Anybody seen Richie?
Hey.
See, I don't have that. I'll never have that.
Well, you're from New York. You should have that.
I know that.
What was your neighborhood on the block?
My buddy Jay calls me Dicky Eyes.
Dicky Eyes. Oh, bro, that's perfect.
Great. No, it's not.
That's great.
That's a good fella's nickname right
there. I know.
There.
But that's when you're on the golf course and you're having a drink.
Hey, Dicky Eyes
I know, right?
Forget about it.
It's called Slay.
Slay.
It's Slay.
Like
Slay.
I said, mama named Slay. I'm going to call him Slay.
It's Slay.
And kudos to our Rich Eisen Show crew for immediately taking Darius off. It just says Slay. Can we put that out one more time? I want to see that. I know you grabbed your phone because be careful. That's how you get suspended is taking pictures off of television.
But that's TJ. Ours. You see, that's our. That's ours.
I will not try and ding you with the social media.
It was not the zones. Okay.
That's a big word, Slay.
Slay.
Great name, by
that's
the way.
That's a great
name.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Big Play Slay.
I mean, that's great. Big play. Awesome.
Who was the first guy? Because I had, what do you say? Because I had like freaking 10 interceptions in 5 practices.
It's awesome.
I'm not going to like him in 2 weeks, but as of today, he's cool with me.
Oh, baby, that's right. And that's on N.
And.
BC.
BC.
The next Sunday night games, bud. Oh, my gosh. Tampa and KC. Cincinnati and Ballmer. And then Dallas and Philadelphia. Those are some dynamite games, including 2 big, huge division contests. All right, we'll come back. We'll take a break. We'll take a phone call. Let's talk James Harden.
Yeah.
Let's talk James and how he looks good.
Does look good.
Maybe he's listening to the Rich Eisen Show, right?
Why wouldn't he be?
Good point. That's next before Taryn Killam in studio and Dan Orlovsky in Hour 3. Check out the latest Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, folks, because when you open up one of those babies, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing, be your own boss, steer your own success, and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or a diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to consider what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Let's go to the phone line here on the Rich Eisen Show. Nick in South Carolina, you're joining us here on the program. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Rich. I have a question for you, but
okay.
First I'd like to say to TJ, as a longtime Dolphins fan, man, I appreciate the way you stand by your Cowboys, brother.
Oh, how about that?
I appreciate you. You know, why not? We're true fans, right? You got to stick with them.
Absolutely. My question to you, Rich, is, man, how is it that Disturbin' Meyer even has a job anywhere? You know, this guy was accused of domestic violence allegations or sexual assault, he'd be home watching the games on TV. I mean, what is his insight? If your kicker misses a field goal, you kick the kicker? I don't get it, Rich.
Look, I don't know, and thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate that. I don't know how accurate he, our caller, was in listing off the things about Urban Meyer that he thinks would keep him from a job. Look, the guy talks very well on television. I mean, we had him on at the draft one night at NFL Network, and he was terrific at it. So I know Fox gave him a gig and put him back on TV. I just, as I said yesterday, when I was talking about how the Jaguars look completely different this year already, just three games in the same stadium where an embarrassment happened last year, on the field, on the sideline, off the field, in the press conference room afterwards, and they returned to the same spot and looked totally different using the same guy. Guy was benched last year and James Robinson ran a 50-yard touchdown in. Just shows you about what a disaster he was as a coach. And, you know, I just had a problem that Fox puts on the chyron on the bottom of the screen, allows him to smile right there as Michigan fans are giving him grief. You know, that he was 7-0 against Michigan, and then word is that they wouldn't any Michigan students hold up signs behind, you know, lest we remember all the transgressions that occurred. Just throwing that out there. But I think if he wants to coach college again, I think someone's going to hire him.
Without a doubt.
You know, that's Nebraska. Coming. And then you'll have to own everything else. And there's a lot of always everything else there. And including the everything else, admittedly, are a lot of wins. Alan Dallas, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Albert? How you been?
Well, thank God the Cowboys won, because I don't know if I could have taken the whining down here for all this week. Yeah, I mean, you know, Richard, I mean, you're a worldly man. You know what it's like to be in the Metroplex a little bit. The news begins, ends, and starts with the Dallas Cowboys. So, but listen.
Well, what are they going to talk about? How Luka showed up on media day looking good? Texas Rangers playing out the string again? You know, I mean, what else?
That's the lead story. That's the Cowboys are the lead story.
Oh, over news and everything else, huh?
They should be, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, TJ, how are you, buddy?
Hello, brother.
So, look, I said it before, and I told Brockman earlier. I don't, you know, Neil played terrible, but that doesn't mean he didn't try. Danny Jones tried hard. He's just not a good player. Galladay's got to go. You know, like, I mean, he just doesn't care. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're moving in the right direction, just like you said with, you know, the Jaguars getting a new coach. We've gotten a new coach. We've gotten a new attitude. But I wanted to bring something up, Rich, because I saw this before, and I don't think I've heard anybody talking about it. And it's a story that's come up over the last couple of years. It affects your team, too. That MetLife Stadium, that turf,
yeah.
I mean, what is going on there? That Sterling Shepard, we all saw it. I mean, what, did he trip over the line?
No, he was just jogging and slowing down of a jog that he wasn't anywhere near contacted. Yeah. You know, Zach Wilson hurt his knee just in another non-contact. I mean, John Harbaugh, after week one, the Ravens coach was saying that the turf felt weird. It's really compacted. I have no idea. I mean,
it's a disaster.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, Al. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, just take a look at that. I think most of the country saw it last night.
That was awful.
And it is, in fact, an ACL injury. He is done for the year. And a full year rehab coming up.
The way both teams surrounded him when he was on that cart, though, you always see people showing love, but the way the Cowboys guys, it seemed like the entire team and the coaching staff went up and like, because this kid is really special, it must be.
Because they're, but for the grace of football or the grace of God goes, any of them just on that turf.
Yeah. Man, that's a shame.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. I love when people take my advice. I really do. You know, and clearly James Harden has. I know I'm in his head. I know it. Sitting out here in Los Angeles, California, father of 3, 14, 11, and 8-year, 9-year-old. I'm sure we share something in common, James and I.
Honey buns.
I don't know. Or just needing to buckle down and eat right. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to do the same thing. You know, I'm in the middle of the NFL season, just going from one gig to the other Very lucky, very fortunate to have what I have. But sometimes I'm just eating on the go, and it just doesn't. You know, don't get enough workouts in, that sort of thing.
Feel ya.
But if I was a professional athlete, you know, maybe I would definitely focus on that sort of stuff. Longevity, very important. After a while, just your natural talent, suddenly you're not as good. You're not as available because your best ability, right, is your availability. You hear that all the time in sports.
Actual.
So with Harden clearly becoming more of a shadow of his former self, definitely not the Thunder Harden, not the Rocket Harden, right? Becoming the Net Harden. The Sixer Harden. Notice I just dipped my voice. The Sixers Harden. He has apparently taken my advice, which is what I said last year. I'm like, I don't know if he took the down to the letter. I said, call Tom Brady. Call TB12 and find out what you need to do to get ready for a season. Eat right. Get your body in shape. Longevity, James. Some point, just the natural ability will be not enough. He showed up at the Sixers media day yesterday. The all NBA franchise had a media day. He looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went a little higher register. But
he was
asked about it. Here is James Harden.
I think it just is, at this point, it's dieting, it's proper rest. And then it's just, for me, I think just strengthening my muscles, gaining more muscle mass, which I've always had. And just this last year and a half, really wasn't healthy enough to put the proper work in like I'm used to. So this summer was huge for me in that aspect of making sure, the heel runs and the weightlifting was a little more. Then adding a steel on the court as well.
But how much did you lose?
100 pounds. 2,000.
100 pounds.
I mean, he didn't, obviously.
He looks good.
Man. Yeah, well, me and Brockman have watched videos of him all summer. He's been putting in work.
Man. I love it. Well, I guess he said it's because of the way he's felt the last 2 years. He couldn't put in the work that he used to.
Yeah, his hamstring was bad.
No, I'm aware of what he's gone through, but I don't know. He's never really been known for being that health not workout warrior, has he?
But he's never been known as a gas out guy either. Like he's sneakily, as Brockman always says, he's sneaky bricked up.
So am I. Maybe that's another thing we have in common.
Obviously, I'm looking at
the
you.
Beard. The beard.
Well, I mean that's like stubble, but yeah.
This is a beard. I mean, it's not like.
You look good, Rich.
That's all I'm looking for, by the way.
I mean, your suit jacket.
How tough is it over there? That's all I'm looking for. He gives me.
I like the versatility because sometimes you dress like one of us, and then today you're dressing professional.
I just decided, I'm going to wear a jacket today. I'm going to wear a jacket today.
You got to switch your style up. I like that, Rich.
Yeah, just come with something that you're not expecting.
That's right.
Like Birkenstocks one day.
Well, you don't have to do that anymore. But
tank top?
Huh?
Tank top and chain.
Tank top and chain?
You guys, man.
And cut-off shorts.
You guys.
That's the wave, baby.
That will not happen.
People are pointing out that this person we're talking about only has one outfit.
Who?
You notice that?
Who?
Pat. When he goes on game day, the last few weeks he's been wearing the exact same outfit.
Who, McAfee?
Blue blazer.
Oh, well, he has the money to afford more.
Tank top, chain.
That's his style,
that's
man.
That's the brand,
I think
man.
We should all do that.
I don't think I could pull it off.
Okay.
We'll just stick with love of punters.
That's right.
As our cross section and humor.
And humor.
And love of wrestling.
And success.
I'm down.
Right.
Yeah, I'm down.
Still here on Roku.
Vitamins.
Can I share a quick story with you guys?
We got 90 seconds.
All right, real quick. Since Brett Favre has put volleyball in kind of a bad light, I want to share just a good.
That's what he's put in a bad light.
Well, this is taking a turn.
No. It's just a very good story. Altoona High, right? My niece number 3, Nyla, she played on our Altoona High volleyball team. Last Monday, we're playing against our rival, like the team across town that we hate. They're coming in undefeated. And it was a memorial scholarship game for a former Altoona player who sadly passed away from brain cancer. So it was a big deal. Altoona's down 0-2. You know, in volleyball, you got to win three.
Yeah.
They're down 0-2. They come back. They tie it up at two games apiece. And then on game point, she goes up and blocks the other team's shot for the game winner. And all the kids come running out, and they rush her on the
that's
the court.
Nice.
And I was like, man, this is just – I can't even imagine what that feels like. I've rushed the court for people before, but I've never had it happen. So I just want to give Nyla and Altoona High a shout-out because that was such a dope moment.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And good for her and good for them. Didn't need the Favre setup, though, I don't think.
Well, I mean –
I mean, you don't have to just say this is, you know, germane –
Well, but
because
girls volleyball has been taking a beating because of Favre.
That hasn't been taking a beating. Favre's taken a beating, and it's proper.
Well, it's definitely proper.
I'm just saying, if it's important to you, you have the floor.
Yeah, well, there we go. So
you don't have to say, oh, ripped straight from the headlines.
But it was.
Dan Orlovsky coming up, and then Taryn Killam in studio.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.